Matthew Tukaki has kindly stepped in to look at the political realm for a moment. Hey, Matthew, tenakwe.
Tenakwe, Dale. Now, before we do get into that, I need to say, do you know the difference between the Waz and the Waratahs?
I certainly do. Do you know the difference between Stacey Jones and Gary Freeman?
Well, I do, and I also know that the Waz are not the Waratahs and the Waratahs are not the Waz. Well, it appears that Christopher Luxon, our very own Prime Minister, he was over at the Pacific Islands Forum. He was asked if he wanted to comment about what was going on in the NRL. Now, the lesson in this is don't ask a Prime Minister with no idea about sport, because unlike Anthony Albanese, who obviously clearly knew the answer, Christopher Luxon kept on referring to the Waz as the Waratahs. I mean, no matter the difference that they're both completely different teams and different codes, I mean, you'd think that whoever prepared the briefing notes for the Prime Minister, we only spent a day there, but we were fully represented by of course, Winston Peters. To be fair, they would have been better off sending Tane Randall.
Well, he might have done the difference as well between the Waz and the Waratahs. This is a hanging offence. Off of the head, the jury said.
Well, it's not so much a hanging offence, but it also tells the broader picture of being out of touch. I mean, we've had a Prime Minister in this term of government who sought rape relief on his holiday home in Waiheke Island. We've got a Prime Minister who doesn't really get the cost of living crisis that a lot of New Zealanders are facing. And, of course, I know you're going to be speaking about Metanex and Taranaki shortly, but you've got somebody who doesn't understand. Well, actually, the economy in Queenstown is not the economy of New Zealand, and there are a lot of people out there struggling, including our whānau, with disabilities.
Indeed. Thank you, Matthew. Now, we've spoken about Matt's health journey along the way, so if anyone's got an interest in the support we are providing for those who are confronted by disabilities in their lives, Matthew's in the know. We've recently published a piece on the waitanews.com website called Waitangi Tribunal Finding Disability System Breaches the Treaty and Fails Tangata Whaikaha Māori. Now, what's the gist of the article and how important an issue do you think this might be going forward into November?
Well, sadly, it's probably going to be lost in translation to a lot of other kaupapa that are out there at the moment. And that is the sad thing about it, because our disability system, as told by the Waitangi Tribunal report, which was only released yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and we jumped straight on it, of course, is painting a picture of our whānau who are lacking access to support, lacking access to care, and also painted a picture when you read through some of the stories of our whānau who are feeling isolated, unable to get to appointments. And also one of the things that this comes through on is the Disability Support Bill that went through the Parliament recently, that's also seen a reduction in the what we call the Total Mobility Card discount, which enables people to get either public transport or taxis to appointments and even to work. And that's a significant reduction. So right across the board, the Treaty of Waitangi has been breached, according to the Waitangi Tribunal. And more importantly, sadly, the voices of those with a disability, whether they be Māori or not, paints a very sad picture of a health system, of a disability system, even an aged care system that appears to be under immense pressure.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And again, the tribunal has these findings, deep consideration into the issues, but conveniently at times ignored by those who have the power to do something about the issues raised within that forum. Certainly wishing those in the disability area well, and hopefully things will get better for them. Matthew, can we touch on the Opportunities Party, TOP as it's known? I know that they've just released their Māori policy, and it seems that they would like to restore changes to the Marine and Coastal Area Law and also repeal legislation that stripped references to Te Tiriti or Waitangi. I was waiting for the Opportunity Party stance on Māori issues. What are you reading into what they've thrown out?
Yeah, look, I think it's easy for a small minority party wanting to get into Parliament to put policies like that out. The proof comes in the pudding, though, as to whether or not they would go into coalition with Labor, the Greens and Te Pāti Māori, whether or not that would be one of the bottom lines. And it's definitely a bottom line in terms of a whole range of kaupapa for Te Pāti Māori, for example, but whether or not it would make it into some former coalition agreement, I'm not too certain, because it seems that the Opportunities Party are literally now starting to throw policies out left, right and centre. And this is that old trick to try and scrape up those votes of the undecided to push them across the 5% threshold. Whether they even get across the 5% threshold, I think a lot of commentators are saying they will. I'm not necessarily convinced on that just yet, because it took a long time for small minority parties to actually make it into Parliament in the first place. I mean, all you have to do is track the journey of both the Greens and also New Zealand First, actually, got there off the back of an electorate way back in, I think it was 1993. So, yeah, I mean, they're interesting policies. We've got a request in, of course, to speak to the Opportunities Party on their policies. They haven't got back to us yet, so I don't know, maybe that's just an allergic reaction to an Iwi Māori radio station wanting to ask them about their policies.
Oh, well, we'll do our best and see if we can get in touch with them. Two quick issues. One's the immigration loss, the computer loss. I think somebody mentioned $30 million.
The IT system failure.
The IT system.
Yeah.
But no one held responsible. $30 million's a lot to lose on the card table, isn't it?
Yeah, look, there seems to be a general lack of accountability and responsibility taking for failures. I mean, there are three now. Of course, there's the what's gone on with MB, with the immigration system, that was $30 million spent. I bet if a Māori organisation did that, everyone would be crawling all over them. There's another one that's emerged in the last 24 hours. I think that's costing about $5 million. And then, of course, there is the absolute debacle at the Tauranga City Council over the report of Mount Maunganui and the slips and the landslides. And then dovetail that with no one's taking responsibility about a report that warned of what was going on, but no one did anything about it. And, of course, you've got the local MP down there, National Sam Ufendale, who was demanding only days before the latest round of slips for the tracks to reopen to the public. So you've got this general predilection, if you like, affliction to wanting to take responsibility for anything when it goes wrong. It's like, well, no, Prime Minister, it was the Waratahs playing rugby, the Waz play rugby league, and neither of them play netball. Had to get that last one in, Dale.
Of course you did. what did you make? Because there's been some heat on as well, it would seem, about the cost, the legal representation regarding Mo'o, the bills climbed up to over $1 million. I know lawyers cost plenty, but who ends up paying for that?
Well, see, the ratepayers are paying for it as per usual, so it doesn't matter how many stuff-ups the Tauranga City Council get themselves into. It's okay, the ratepayers will pick up the bill. I'm surprised that no one started blaming the local iwi, which is my local iwi, by the way, Ngāi Tarangi, for causing this whole thing, which was the murmur at the very beginning. But yeah, you know what? Well, it's okay. We'll go to those ratepayers who are suffering, who are already questioning the value of their own council. And people also forget that not too long ago, of course, there was a commissioner in there called Ann Tolley. And it's only recently that the demand came on that there would be a new city council and that the broom of democracy would sweep through. Well, I mean, the broom of democracy looks as if it swept through and it went straight out the back door. So, yeah, I mean, it's a huge lawyer's bill. But to be fair, it's also like those who grift in the realm of the Waitangi Tribunal or the district courts or whoever. The lawyers are very good at picking up the keyboard to type out their invoices, but also, like a lot of other, sadly, New Zealanders don't take responsibility for the outcome, especially when they lose cases.
Tēnā koe. Matthew Tukaki with us today, social political commentator as well, and driving the WaiteNews.com brand. Matthew, Can we just finish up here? The Huyen Palau, obviously, yeah. They've come out and have condemned China's actions with the ballistic testing, etc. Is the forum still au fait? Is it what we need here with deepening and serious issues emerging in the Pacific geopolitical space?
Yeah, look, I've been watching this one quite carefully the last couple of days, of course, and two observations I would make. Number one, it appears that the relationship between us, New Zealand, as a realm country, and the Cook Islands is back on track. There is that investment in the Cook Islands in relation to a port. The Under Secretary of Defence of the United States announced it alongside Winston Peters and, of course, the Prime Minister of the Cook Islands, who appeared to have a big smile on his face. Australia ridden into town with a bucket load of cash. And also they've got off scot-free, by the way. So even though the big kaupapa of the Pacific Island Forum is rising sea levels and climate change, they've glossed over the fact that Australia's exporting stuff to countries to further emissions. So, I mean, it's a really interesting thing that China is definitely on the sidelines. The United States is back in town. Deputy Sheriff, of course, Australia, are running around with bag loads of cash. The brotherly relationship between the Cook Islands and New Zealand appears to be restored. So, yeah, I think it's been an outstanding week for one person in particular, and that is Winston Peters. Maybe not so much Christopher Luxon, only went there for the day for the Leaders Forum on retreat. Even though he was only there for a day and Anthony Albanese had been there for the whole thing, still managed to step up the sporting codes. But hey, I've got to stop bringing that up.
I guess, well, no, he's got to be made to pay for such a faux pas, deeply offensive to the Waratahs supporters. Thanks very much for joining us on the program, Matthew Te Nākwe. Awesome. Appreciate your time. Ngā mihi.
Kia ora.